Sessions.
Hi, this is Gilbert Gottfried. I'm here with Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with our guest, Rupert Holmes.
The great Rupert Holmes is here.
The great Rupert Holmes.
If you're listening to this, you're on Stitcher, and you ought to listen to the main episode that we just did, because Rupert outdid himself by coming up with not only Charles Gray, but the actor who played Dory Sherry. The I Love Lucy.
You know, Philip Ober is a rich vein to mine.
But we still have callers on the line. We were having so much fun, so we decided to roll it over to a mini episode. So we're going to take the remaining callers on the line. We'll call this Colossal Obsessions. And Frank, who do we have?
This is a phone call from Restricted.
Uh-oh.
So right away, it's Mysterious.
Brother. Yeah, no, somebody in witness protection.
Kind of this, yeah.
All right, Mysterious.
Mysterious, who are you? Where are you from?
Hey there, this is Mark Edlitz from New York, New York, Chelsea, and Dara gave me the thumbs up to give a call to you guys.
Terrific.
Long time listener, first time.
Hi, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for speaking to me.
Of course, say hi to Gilbert and Rupert.
Hey guys, how are you?
Fine, thank you, Mark. How are you?
What do you got for us?
I wrote a book on James Bond that's coming out in October called The Many Lives of James Bond.
Very good.
I have two trivia questions based on my research from
More
it.
Bond.
And I know you guys are Bond fans. I know you guys did a mini episode on Bond as
well. We did.
So who is the first actor to play James Bond in any medium?
We just covered that one.
Yeah.
And it's not who you think.
Oh, in any medium. Was there a rate? Are you talking about radio?
Yes.
Oh, so it's not Barry Nelson.
It isn't Barry Nelson because he was on like television. U.S. Steel Hour or something like that. He did Casino. Okay,
Casino. So
is it a British radio show?
He played Jimmy Bond, and there's an actor who played James Bond on the radio.
He played James
one time.
One time he played James Bond, the James Bond on the radio. What is the
David
Jimmy referring?
David Niven?
No.
A British actor.
British actor?
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
He later became a game show host on a game show called Blockbusters in the UK.
In the UK.
Boy, that's the only British game show host I can even think of is Richard Dawson.
Yeah, who wouldn't
play James Bond.
No. He could have been at one time in his life. You're talking about a BBC, like a Radio 4 show?
Yeah. Well, it's
and what can you
like
tell
that.
Me? Then can you tell me which book they were in? That what?
I can tell you. It didn't come out of the BBC, but it was with an English actor, and it came out of South Africa, of all places.
Oh yes, South Africa. Yeah,
Durban.
Those are they do things. South Africa. They would do like the Avengers TV
was
series.
It Juliet Prowse? She was from South
exactly.
Africa.
Exactly.
I'm not good. Is his first name Tony?
No, it's not.
There's a South African. There were a couple of South African radio stars who became famous.
We'll have to turn over the cards.
I'm sorry. We're
going to turn them over. Who is it, Mark?
His name is Bob Holness.
Of course. His father
played,
died in my basement.
James Bond in the 50s. He was a member of the South African Radio Repertory Company.
You're stretching.
And he was the first legitimate James Bond. You think it's a stretch?
And what was he enacting? What was the title of the show?
It was Moonraker.
It was Moonraker.
Adaptation of Moonraker.
And are you sure?
Wow.
Let me ask you something here. Moonraker is far along in the series. Are you sure this is pre-Barry Nelson, who did it the 50s?
Well, Barry Nelson played Bond in 1954. That's
right.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
This, but he played Jimmy Bond. Bob Holness played James Bond. In an official
You're getting us
adaptation.
On a technicality again.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, let it slide. What was the second Bond question? Quick.
I got one more.
Quick.
The second Bond question. What is Sean Connery's last performance as James Bond?
Never Say Never Again.
Official Eon project. No. His last official performance was not in a movie.
Oh, God.
I, that's more
Must have been on like a movie. Like
was
what?
It with a marionette show?
No.
Was it on an award? It must have been on an award show.
No.
What was it? I'm curious.
It's a production.
Tell us.
It's a production that Eon was involved with, and it's the video game adaptation of From Russia with Love.
How about this?
And Connery plays the whole thing, beginning to end. You could watch it, if you take away the gameplay and just watch the animated scenes, it makes like an animated version of From Russia with Love. It's pretty trippy.
Wow.
Wow.
Anyway,
good
I wrote
stuff.
About it.
And he probably did it for money.
Yeah.
What's the name of the book, Mark?
Yes,
plug it one more time before we let you go.
Thank you so much. It's called The Many Lives of James Bond. And can I tell you one quick story about his production of it, which will make you think John Connery's the best?
We got to run because we got to try to squeeze in some guests.
Okay, I'll let you go. I'll let you go.
Well,
thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it a lot. All right.
Take care.
Some Bond trivia. And really picayune Bond trivia.
Yeah. I'm, you know, South African radio is it actually happened. There was a guy named Tony J who actually got famous out of South Africa, and he ended up moving. Sid James from all the Carry On movies was a South African
actor.
We
booked you specifically for your knowledge of South African radio.
It's terrible.
Who's next, Frank? Let's try to get them all in.
All the way to 210, which I feel like we did already.
210 area code. Where are you calling from, caller?
San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, who are we speaking to?
This is the only rabbi who admits to listening.
It's
to
Rabbi show. David.
David Komarowski.
Rabbi David was at our live event. He is an actual rabbi.
And wow. And Rabbi David, it turns out, just by the sheer Facebookness of things, is friends with a high school friend's dad who is also a rabbi.
That's just freaky. Did you call with rabbi trivia?
I have one that's...
my question is...
Rupert Holmes should be able to
get
is that the right answer, yes. Rabbi?
That is well worth a Stitcher subscription. because it's like Passover, I should do four, but I'll just do one question. I want to know if we can hear...
Okay, fire one at Rupert Holmes.
Can we hear Rupert Holmes' Haftorah portion?
My what?
Your Haftorah. He wants to hear your Haftorah.
I'm sorry to let you down. Here's the thing. I was brought up as an Episcopalian altar boy. I have no idea what we're referring to. I swear to God.
Your bar mitzvah.
He
wanted to hear a passage from your bar mitzvah.
This is the truth. I'm barking up the wrong tree, Rabbi. My father was a Jewish atheist, and my mother was a devout Episcopalian. I was brought up at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Pearl River, and I was an acolyte. They said performing the ceremony today, assisting the priest, is David Goldstein. They said they're getting in everywhere. Rabbi, I apologize, but I was never bar mitzvahed. I'm sorry.
We have two right here. Two disgraces to the faith, yes. Rabbi. What's your question,
you have
pal?
No idea. You have no idea how easy you got it.
What's the question?
I'll give you a movie question. This
sure.
is my father's favorite movie. I've never heard it mentioned on the podcast, but do you know the name of the 1978 William Friedkin picture that had Peter Falk, Peter Boyle?
Yeah, The Brink's Job.
Yeah.
You got it.
Pretty good heist movie, as heist movies go.
I like Husbands.
An outstanding.
You ever see Husbands?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As a heist movie?
No. No, Peter Falk and...
Sure.
And, Ben Gazzara,
yeah.
John Cassavetes.
That's the one they were plugging when they got dead drunk and went on the Dick Cavett
show.
That's
right. That's right.
Embarrassed themselves.
Yeah, they really did.
Rabbi, that's a great question. You got a second one, or are you going to jump?
That's it.
That was great.
That's it. Thank you. I love the show.
I apologize. I also was not bar mitzvahed, possibly because my last name means Holy Father. Thanks for your faith, pal. Thanks for your support
of
the show.
I've been to enough bar mitzvahs for all three of you.
Terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
That.
We appreciate you. Bye-bye. Who's next?
I think we have a local caller here.
Who do we have the pleasure of speaking to?
This is Dave from New York.
Dave from New York is on the line, and his voice sounds eerily familiar. Hello, Dave. How are you?
All right.
Where are you calling from? Is it down the hall?
He's literally outside the door.
It's the call is coming from inside the studio.
It's coming from inside your pants.
What's the question, Dave? And this better be good.
My question is, okay, so the Beatles released Abbey Road 50 years ago this month. Can you name the five Beatles that appear on the cover of the album?
Rupert? I'm going to call my lifeline, Rupert Holmes.
Okay, so are we talking about like an insert photo? Is something in the background? I mean, we know there was Stuart Sutcliffe. Stuart Sutcliffe is...
This is the cover of Abbey Road.
Sure, crossing the street.
Not Sgt. Pepper, where Stu is on cover with him.
But I didn't study the cover that much. I don't remember a fifth person in the photograph. Is he hidden somewhere? Is it in the window? And is it Stuart? Is it Pete Best? Is it Stuart Sutcliffe? What?
No, it's not Stu. It's not Pete. All right, can you name the first four?
The person who most fascinates me is the person who replaced Ringo Starr as the drummer when Ringo was hospitalized and he did a tour. Can you imagine a man in this world was one day said, someone said, you know the Beatles, the hottest group in the universe ever? You're the drummer for the next month. Right. And what his day must have been like the day they said goodbye.
Right.
But anyway, it's not him, right? You're saying a fifth Beatle. Is it George Martin somewhere in there?
What's the answer, Dave? Nope. You've stumped us.
Stumped us.
John, Paul, George, Ringo, Volkswagen.
Oh, my God.
It's a trick question.
Yes, it is. From now on, you must spell all questions.
Dara, hold me back, Dara. Where is he?
We're gonna
box his ears.
It's a funny, it's a cute gag. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. It is hidden in the...
It's like the question, who was the only man to play for the New York Rangers and the New York Knicks and the New York Yankees? And it turned out to be the organist.
Yeah.
It's like that question. Good job, Seidel.
Okay, so speaking of the Volkswagen, do you know the last four digits of the license plate on the Volkswagen?
On the Abbey Road cover?
Nerd. Sorry. Yes. Allergies.
You need to meet some women. We got to help this guy. No idea. But I love the question. I love the
28 if.
There you go.
28 if. And that was part of the Paul is dead.
Oh, it's part of the Paul is dead.
Right. And that's on his Tinder profile, Blady. So
come and get him. Dave, you're a madman. Thank you for that. Let's try to squeeze in a couple more people in 15 minutes.
All right. Area code 519.
519, Dara. Shout him out.
Hello. Hello, this is Chanel calling.
Chanel.
Chanel,
you're also the fifth caller. What are the odds? Get it?
Thank you very much.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Chanel number five. Chanel number five for those listening.
Chanel, where are you calling from?
Kitchener, Ontario, Canada.
Ontario, Canada.
And, I just wanted to... Yeah. So, first off, I just wanted to say my favorite song is about the dummy in the window.
What is your question, real quickly? Because our connection's wonky.
Yeah, thank you. So my question is, which monkey song did Neil Young play guitar for?
Rupert, which monkey song did Young?
We're running late,
not
so
Daydream Believer.
That's too much of a studio production.
You're anti Griselda.
My guess is it's one of the ones they did on the stuff they were doing themselves. But I'm not going to waste time and guess. I don't know.
What's the answer?
The Beatle.
Actually, it was on the song called As We Go Along, which was featured on Head. So.
From Head.
Yeah, from Head.
Very good question.
Had some nice phone conversations with Mickey Dolenz this year.
Oh, he's a lovely guy.
Yeah,
he's been
really
here twice.
Yeah,
We appreciate the fact that you're
monkeys.
Yeah, well, we've had two of them here. We had Mike and we had Mickey twice.
And we've had the Cunnilingus chimps.
We tried to get Jim Frawley too, but we didn't. We appreciate that your question was also Canada related, by the way, the Neil Young connection.
The Neil Young connection.
Thank you, Chanel. We're going to jump because we got some people to squeeze in.
No problem. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bless your heart.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
All right, quickly.
Area code 404.
Atlanta.
404 is Atlanta.
We're guessing Atlanta.
Yeah.
Is it Ned?
Hello, who's on the line?
Hello there. Hi, this is Brian Phillips. How are you?
Why, hello, Brian Phillips. Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi there.
How are you?
There.
Say hello to Mr. Rupert Holmes and Mr. Gilbert Gottfried, your co-host for the evening.
Hello, gentlemen.
This is the most genteel. exchange. We've all suddenly got doilies on.
Yeah. the Finer Things
Club.
How are
you? I'm just so glad to be speaking with
you. It's like a drawing room comedy.
So glad when we heard you could make
it. What is your name?
My name is still Brian Phillips.
Oh, you said that, Brian Phillips.
Well replied.
I'm a little punchy, Brian. Your question for us?
The question I have is this, is that there was a cartoon series back in the 60s called Super Six. Who sang the theme to it?
Super Six. This is good stuff. What did you have a year, roughly?
1966.
Was it a woman?
No.
Was it a man?
Son of somebody.
was it Vaughn Monroe?
The jury is out on
Super
that.
Super Six.
Super Six.
Was it sort of like an Avengers? I don't mean the Patrick McNee Avengers. Was it sort of like an Avengers, but with generic characters that were invented by the Crofts or something like that, or Hanna-Barbera? Was it Hanna-Barbera?
No, it was Patty Frehling.
Patty Frehling.
It was a parody of the Avengers type of thing.
Well, okay, give us a hint. How might we know this singer? See if we can angle toward it.
Gilbert is very fond of doing his father's voice, and this fellow used to sing on his records, but he was double tracked and he was a drummer.
Is it Mickey Dolenz? No, it's not Mickey Dolenz.
No,
he was a drummer. Is a drummer.
Gary Lewis.
That's right.
It's Gary Lewis. Oh. Gary Lewis sang the theme song for Secret Six? Super Six?
Super Six.
That's great
Super
trivia.
Six, yeah.
Wow. Good stuff.
The double track.
We keep coming back to Jerry Lewis. Yeah, all roads lead back to Jerry Lewis.
And Gary. We started
and Gary
talking
Lewis.
About Gary.
We started there. Great question.
Thank you, Brian. Radio show, The Electronic Sound. Do you have time for a second question?
Real quick.
Okay. The Children's Television Workshop is known for the Sesame Street and the Electric Company, but they had one flop show in 1974, which featured Dick Cavett, and the theme song was done by Stephen Schwartz. What's the name of the show?
Stephen Schwartz went to my high school.
I'm working with Stephen Schwartz.
Are you?
Yes, indeed, right now.
Mention Mineola High.
I will.
You'll get a rise out of him.
I will. Yes, indeed. That's good.
He's a brilliant talent.
Yeah, he is. This is the failed series with Dick Cavett. Oh, that could be anything.
puppet ward.
I actually saw a lot of that stuff because of my own kids, but I can't think of what the series was.
Here's some felt. I have no idea. I've written for too many puppet shows. I'm scarred.
Can you tell me and I've lost what the question was. What was the series?
It was the flopped series from the
Children's
Television Workshop.
You have to name the series.
Yeah, I have no guess. Gilbert?
Lolita My Love.
Not American Dream Machine.
That's not it.
What is it?
American Dream Machine.
No, that was the thing with Marshall Efron, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. That was a good one, though.
Listen to me, it's nothing to do with Free to Be You and Me.
Nothing to do with Free to Be You and Me.
No.
What's the answer?
The answer, and Joan Rivers was even a guest star on it for one show, Feeling Good. It was a show about nutrition.
Wow.
I was just going to scream that one out.
Dick Cavett should have booked James Rodale on that one. The guest that died on his show, the nutritionist.
Yeah, right.
The nutritionist.
He did.
Good stuff, Brian. Thank you so much for the question.
Thank you very much. And Spring Valley, New York. I never hear that on the radio. Take care.
Good stuff. He wanted to say Spring Valley, New York.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got like six, seven minutes. We'll try to squeeze in two or three.
Coming to you live from 818.
818. That's the Valley.
Yeah.
Who are we speaking to?
You got it. This is Scott from beautiful downtown Burbank.
Beautiful downtown
it
Burbank.
Is
Gary Owens with you, Scott?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Johnny Carson. Yeah, we're all hanging out.
Over at the Copper Penny?
Yep. Is the Smokehouse still in beautiful?
Smokehouse.
Is that still in beautiful?
Smokehouse is around.
Sportsman's Lodge just bit the dust
in
Studio City. Yeah, heartbreaking.
Wow.
Scott, welcome to the show. Say hi to these two gentlemen.
How do you know the Smokehouse?
I lived there for 12 years.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Gil?
Mm. Yes. All right. Okay. I got a trivia question for you.
Go.
All right. What was the first movie that Bela Lugosi and Todd Browning worked together on?
Oh, Freak? Is it Freaks?
Before Dracula?
No, he wasn't in Freaks.
Oh, no. Freaks was after Dracula.
Okay, but he said they worked on it. Was he in the movie?
Lugosi
was in the movie. He was on screen. Yeah, Lugosi was on screen. Todd Browning directed it.
Did Todd Browning direct that? Must have been later.
He didn't do Mark of the Vampire, did he?
I think that's
Todd Browning.
No, no, no.
I know. Saying before Dracula.
Dracula's 31.
This must have been Lugosi probably did like one line.
Was it a silent?
Oh, no. He actually had a talkie.
A talkie.
And yeah, Lugosi actually had like a big part in it, a big supporting part.
This is not the Black Cat.
That's later on.
All this stuff is like way after, yeah.
Good movie. Love the Black Cat.
Black Cat is amazing.
Yeah, we talked about it before when we were here. I think we're all stumped, Scott. What do you think?
Okay. It is the 13th chair from 1929.
The 13th chair.
Wow.
That's like more of a whodunit, isn't it?
Is it a whodunit?
Yeah, it's basically like a murder mystery in a mansion.
It's like and then there were none, that kind of thing.
Should play on a double bill with Mel Brooks, the 12th chair.
Yeah, just a murder mystery, old dark house type.
Old dark house.
Very good.
Wow.
Yeah, Rupert usually knows those. He knows his haunted house movies.
Yeah, I do. I love my heart.
It's a very obscure movie. I don't even think it's out on disc, but TCM shows it every once in a while.
Wow.
The remake of Old Dark House is Tom Poston's greatest work in horror. He was the star.
Go on now.
Star Tom Poston in the Old Dark House remake in color. William Castle.
His best horror film. Mm-hmm. That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Scott, thanks so much for the question. We loved it.
Yep.
Thank you, pal. Bye-bye. Give our regards to Burbank.
The 13th chair.
Glad to see the smokehouse is still in Burbank. They're dropping like flies out there.
I wrote a song, Queen Bee, in the movie A Star Is Born, and then immediately went across the street to the smokehouse. To celebrate.
You were on the Warner lot.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I had an
office there.
Good stuff.
Great.
Good memories. Frank?
We're going to take you all the way to New York City.
Back to New York City.
You're on.
I believe this is our final caller. Is this our last caller?
Is this me?
You're on. And where are you calling from? New York?
Well, it's your magician pal, Jamie, and it's a New York number, but I'm calling from San Diego.
Hi, Jamie. How are you? How are things in San Diego?
It's 66 degrees. It's always 66 degrees in San Diego.
I love San Diego. I love Old Town.
Jerry Lewis lived there.
Yes.
It's a lovely place to visit.
Is Croce still there?
No, closed down a few years ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Lost their lease.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, there's no longer. That was the last good reason to go to the gas lamp.
The gas lamp district. Yeah. What's your question for us, Jamie? Yeah.
So, being a magician, my question is magic related.
Ooh, good.
Which is this. In what two movies did Tony Curtis play a magician? And we know you're going to get one.
Well, Houdini.
Right.
Obviously.
Exactly.
With Torrin Thatcher.
Was the question? Because I was distracted.
In what
two movies did Tony Curtis play a magician?
Was it in his Universal Prince, Yonder Lies the Castle of My Father period? Was he?
No.
It's not a magician. A magician.
This is Jeremy?
This is Jamie Ian Swiss.
Oh, I know you, Jamie.
Yes.
We've spoken on Facebook.
Can you give me his co-star?
Kirk Douglas.
Wow.
Tony Curtis and Kirk Douglas? How do I not know this?
Oh.
And he played a magician.
And the thing that I'm really proud about this question is it's my own question. I didn't come across it anywhere else.
Great. Well, we give you credit for that.
Can you give me one other cast member if you're looking at it? Can you give me one other?
I don't have another cast member.
Why would Tony Curtis be a magician in a movie with Kirk Douglas?
Wait. Adrian?
The List of Adrian Messenger? Yes. Is that it?
That's a good guess, but that's wrong.
Oh, what a hell of a guess. John Huston movie.
Yeah.
Hell of a guess.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing.
I think we're stumped, my friend.
We're totally stumped.
All right. You're going to be really surprised when I say this, and you may or may not recall the scene, but the movie is Spartacus.
And how is he a magician?
The first time we meet the Tony Curtis character.
Right. I love you, Spartacus.
They're sort of walking through. They're walking through the members of the workers. They're outdoors and they're sort of going down the line. And when they get to Curtis, he reaches over and he pulls an egg out of the ear of the guy next to him in this kind of joker way, sort of letting them know that this is that he's this kind of jester magician sort of character.
Oh, the old egg out of the gladiator trick.
Exactly.
That's the third time I've fallen for it this month, as Don Adams used to say.
Yes.
Good job, Jamie.
Amazing.
Really good. Good question.
Amazing hearing from you again, Jamie.
Yes, Gilbert. Great to talk to you. Someday I'm going to come on. We're going to tell the story of the first. You won't remember, but the first time I told Frank this story a while back online.
Yeah.
Of the first time we met.
Yeah, it's
but
a good
today.
It's a good story for another time. Jamie, great question. You stumped us.
Yep.
Wonderful job.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you.
You bet.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye.
And
our last but not least.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
We've been waiting for this call. I believe it's Boston, right? 617?
Boston, Dara, 617?
We've been waiting for a Boston call. Here we go.
Here we go. You are the last caller on the trivia night, my friend.
Wow. I cannot believe it. This is very exciting.
You got in. What is your name?
Yeah. My name is Anthony.
Hi, Anthony. Welcome to the show.
I'm calling it, it's my sister's birthday, and I ran outside to make this phone call.
Oh, well, happy birthday to your sister.
Geraldine is her name. Happy birthday,
happy birthday, Geraldine.
Cool. So my question, what feature film does Harpo Marx have a speaking line?
Does he really?
It is a little bit of a trick question.
Yeah.
He does have a speaking line in the movie.
It is not in a movie. I'm not going to get the right title. It was something like The History of the World.
Yeah, the Irwin Allen movie.
History of Mankind.
The Story of Mankind. Is it that movie?
He was playing.
Mankind.
It's not that one. He was playing Isaac Newton, Sir Isaac Newton.
And he doesn't speak.
I think that is the only movie where he's in color.
Yes.
Possibly. Is this a Marx Brothers movie, like a trick question where somehow they made a voice come out of him?
You know, you don't mean when he sings, not Marie Chevalier, right?
Nope. No, it is sort of a trick question. It is not a Marx Brothers movie. It predates the Marx Brothers movies.
Oh.
Well, boy, if Robert Bader was here, he would know. Dick Cavett would know.
Pre-coconuts.
It is in his book. It's in the Bader.
And I know it, but I can't for the life of me think of it.
Sure.
I'm going to kick myself when you say it. Gil, any guesses?
No.
Does it have anything to do with Russ Kunkel?
Does it have anything to do with Barbara Marx?
Full circle again.
Right, here we go.
Okay. Does it have anything to do with Pappy on Susu?
What's the answer,
What
Anthony?
Is the answer, sir?
It is a silent film called Too Many Kisses.
Too Many Kisses, yeah.
And Harpo has a line that appears on a title card.
It's in Bader's book.
So like I said... Yes, it is. Yeah,
great.
It's in the Joe Adamson book.
Yeah, great question.
Can you imagine? He did do a.
Thank you.
He did a play up in New England. Like as people went to see. I think it was either Our Town or one of those picturesque things, and people went.
Yeah, it was.
What was it?
Yeah, it was. Oh my God, the George F. S. Kaufman.
Yeah.
Can't take it with you.
Once in a lifetime, maybe. Or anyway, can you imagine going to a play? And hearing Harpo do a whole role. It must have been amazing.
I know, yeah.
Great story.
Yeah, it must have been unreal.
Great stuff. Good question, Anthony. You stumped us. Wonderful.
Thank
it
you.
Wasn't hard to do tonight, but we'll give you credit nonetheless. Thanks.
Philip Oberg.
Philip
John Anderson.
Do you have a Philip Oberg question?
John Anderson.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you to all the callers. My God, I'm exhausted.
It's intense.
It's hard work.
Yeah, it really is.
But I think we did okay. What do you think, Gilbert?
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
I think Rupert got the most correct answers by far. He came up with John Anderson and Philip Ober.
That very good.
And send some other stuff.
Yeah. I was pleased. I was terrified.
Yeah.
Coming here, I was terrified. Really, I thought I'm going to sit here for 2.5 hours and I'll say, you know,
you didn't trust us. You didn't trust our listeners.
Don Wilson.
Yeah.
George Fenneman. Jack Nars.
Now you're getting personal.
Jack Nars.
You walked in here with an Art James reference and Robert Sterling. This was fun, Dave Seidel. Thank you for that call from down the hall.
The show has ended.
We can cut that. Yeah.
Please deposit 50 cents for the next 2 minutes of this show.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks, John Murray, who was here.
John Murray.
Our musical contributor who did the wonderful song that we posted to promote the trivia show.
And this has been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions. And the question no one could answer is Rupert Holmes.
What is Rupert Holmes' real name was also revealed on the show tonight.
Yeah.
This was fun, Rupert. Thank you so much for being a part of it.
I love being here.
Okay, pal.
Let's do it again.
We shall.
Tomorrow.
We sure will. Okay, come for waffles. Bye-bye.
Facing nature just for kicks. Half a dozen super strong men who were called the Super Six. Super Six, Super Six, battle criminals and all their evil games. Super Six, Super Six, evildoers read the
mention
of their names. Down the fear of darkness, giving crime an uppercut. Five great thunderbolts of power, and a bolt who is a nut. Super Six, Super Six.